Perek Bey starts the discussion of the bechor of a kosher animal, in particular cattle, sheep, and goats, that if a mother who had never given birth gives birth to a baby boy, so there is now a requirement of a bechor, and we're talking about kosher animals now, and this discussion is going to run all the way from this perek all the way up to and including perek vav. So this is going to be the good part of our masechta. We're going to start out with Mishnah Aleph, which is going to sound similar to the first Mishnah in the prior perek. The prior perek was talking about the bechor of the peter chamor, but now we are changing gears and we're going to talk about the bechor of the kosher animals, but some of the concepts are going to be quite similar, if not the same. Mishnah Aleph says as follows, Halokeach ubar paraso shel nachri. We're now going to see five different examples of when the animal that's talking about the mother, the kosher mother, or the baby boy are not wholly owned by a Jew. And accordingly, because a non-Jew has an ownership, a partial ownership, or a full ownership in one or the other or both, there's going to be no mitzvah, no requirement of a bechor. So halokeach, number one, example number one of the five, halokeach ubar parasa shel nachri. If a Jew buys the fetus owned by a non-Jew, so the non-Jew owns the para, owns the cow, and the Jew owns a fetus that is developing in the cow. So the fetus is owned by the Jew, the cow is owned by the non-Jew. Number two, v'hamochelo, or the reverse, that the cow is owned by the Jew and he sells the fetus to the non-Jew. Afal pishenu rashai, the Mishnah makes a side comment that even though you are not allowed to sell an animal of this nature to a non-Jew, the concern of Chazal was that you may come to rent or lend your animal to a non-Jew for Shabbos, and that would be violating the halachas of Shabbos. The Jew has to ensure not only himself and his family members and his servants rest on Shabbos, but also his animals. So there was a concern of Chazal, you may come, if we are selling them animals, we may come to, if we are going to sell them animals, then we may come also to rent, lease, and lend them animals, so that would all be prohibited. So that's why it says, Amochelo, even though you're not allowed to sell the fetus to him, but if you did, then this, the halachas of Bechor would not apply. But even though, Afal Bishin Orasha, even though you shouldn't be selling them animals of this nature anyway. And third example, Hamishtatzeflo, if you have a partnership with the non-Jew in the animals that we were talking about, in the mother, V'hamekabo mimenu is number four. This is talking about, this is number four. Number five is a business transaction where one person owns the animal and that person enters into deal with somebody else who's going to tend to that animal, take care of the animal, and they are going to split the profits from the offspring. So v'hamekabel mimenu is that the animal is owned by, for example, a cow, is owned by a non-Jew, and the non-Jew enters into the deal with the Jew who's going to supply the service of tending to it, and they're going to split the profits, or the reverse. Number five, anosin lo b'kabbalah, or he gives it, this is the Jew that owns the cow, and he's going to give that cow to a non-Jew to tend to it, to supply the services, and then he will split the profits. In all these examples, patur min ha-bechorah, the Jew is not going to be obligated in the mitzvah of Bechora, because the animals are not wholly owned by a Jew. It has to be both the mother and the baby that were wholly owned by the Jew, because Shenemar the Pasuk, and says in the Pasuk, Be Yisrael, and talking about the halachas of the Bechor, it has to be wholly owned by a Jew, Avaloba Acherim, but not by others, meaning coming to exclude if all or part of the animal or animals are owned by a non-Jew, then the mitzvah, the halachas of the Bechor, do not apply. And now in the Sefer, we're going to talk about Kohanim and Levim, and here it's going to differ. What we just saw in the reisha of this Mishnah was identical, actually, to what we saw with the Peter Chamor at the beginning of the prior Perek, and now we're going to have a divergence between the two. In the prior Perek, when talking about a Peter Chamor, it says that Kohanim and the Levim are not obligated when they have a donkey that gives birth to a Bechor. You're not obligated as a Kohen or Levi, only a Yisrael. But now we say different. Kohanim ulevim chayavim. Here, when a Kohen has a cow, for example, that gives birth to a Bechor or a Levi, there is an obligation. The obligation on the Levi would be to give it to a Kohen, because that's the halachas of the Bechor. Behema Tahora, the Bechor of a kosher animal, goes to the Kohen. So if a Levi has one, he has to give it to the Kohen. If the Kohen has one, he has to bring it as a Kohen, and it has to be eaten as a Bechor. So they are obligated. The reason is because we don't have a pasuk that exempts them from this. So despite the fact that we did have a pasuk, we'll see shortly in the balance of our Mishnah, we had a pasuk that exempted Kohanim and Levim from Pidyon HaBen. When they have a child as a Bechor, they don't have to do a Pidyon HaBen. And also Peter Chamor, we had a pasuk, same pasuk, we learned them back from one to the other, Pidyon HaBen, and Peter Chamor, that the Kohen and Levi, they're exempt from that. But we don't have a pasuk that says they're exempt from the Bechor of a Behemah Torah. Accordingly, to read the balance of the Mishnah, Kohanim Levim B'chayavim, Kohanim Levim, when they have a Bechor Behemah Torah, they are obligated in the mitzvah of Bechor, Lo Nifturumi Bechor Behemah Torah, they do not have an exemption. Talking about the Kohanim Levim, there's no exemption when it comes to the Bechor of a Behemah Torah, but they do have an exemption, V'lo Nifturu Ela Mipidyon HaBen, they're exempt from Pidyon HaBen, when the Kohen or Levi has a child, his wife has a child, even though it would be a Bechor, and it's his wife's first child, etc. But nonetheless, because the father is a Kohen or Levi, or umit peter chamor, when a Kohen or Levi has a peter chamor, also they would be exempted from those two mitzvahs. But again, not from the mitzvah of Bechor of a kosher animal. Mishnah Beis and thereafter Mishnah Gilmel talk about when an animal has a certain level of kedusha, is it subject to the halachas of Bechor or not. So in fact, we're going to divide up between two different types of Kedusha. The first one is called Kedusha Saguf. That is when somebody donates or consecrates an animal to the Beis HaMikdash that is unblemished, so it can be brought as a korban on the Mizbeach and can be brought on the altar. So that's Kedusha Saguf, which means it has physical sanctity to it. And the halacha is as follows, that if subsequently that animal has a mum, that is a disqualifying blemish such that it cannot be brought on the Mizbeach, in that situation it can be redeemed with money. And what happens is that Kedusha transfers over to the money, and the money will be used to buy a different korban. But the animal that was redeemed, because it was on the level of Kedusha Saguf, which is on the higher level of purity, accordingly it still has certain requirements, limitations, because there is still some remnant Kedusha with that animal. That is going to contrast with an animal that before it was consecrated to the Beis HaMikdash, it had a mum. It had a blemish that would invalidate it to be brought as a korban. So when somebody donates that animal to the Beis HaMikdash, it does not have Kedusha Saguf, which is that intrinsic physical sanctity. It has simply monetary sanctity. It's called Kedusha Damim. And when something has Kedusha Damim, because it can't be brought as a korban, it was originally blemished before it was donated. So when somebody redeems that type of animal, that animal is redeemed and there's no residual Kedusha. So that's going to be what we see in this Mishnah, Mishnah Beis and Mishnah Gimel, and the implications it has for the requirements of Bechor. So we're going to start with Mishnah Beis as follows. We're going to have the second type of Kedusha, the lower type of Kedusha, when an animal has Kedusha's Damim. It has a monetary Kedusha sanctity, but not intrinsic physical Kedusha. So the Mishnah says as follows, Kol HaKodshim Shekada Mum Kavua LeHekdesh, on any Hekdesh, talking about any type of animal that before it was donated, consecrated to the Beis HaMikdash, it had a Mum Kavua, which is a permanent blemish, which would invalidate it to being brought as a Korban. So first existed the Mum, and thereafterward it was consecrated. So when it's consecrated, it only has Kedushas Damim, the lower level Kedusha, not Kedushas Aguf. And thereafter, somebody went and redeemed it, Viniftu, and it was redeemed. So accordingly, at this point, it has no more sanctity. So at this point, it's Chayavim Bebechora. There's an obligation if that animal has a firstborn to it, that mother has a firstborn animal, then it would be subject to the requirements of Bechor if it's a baby boy. And also another halacha, the matanos. Matanos are actually when you have an animal that's chulin. It's not a sanctified animal, but it's just a regular animal, and you slaughter it, there's an obligation to give certain parts. Here it's called the matanos, the gifts, to the kohen. So it's the foreleg, and it's the jaws, and the stomach, one of the stomachs that is given to the Kohen. So that's another implication of that. So when you redeem it, it has no more residual Kedusha. So it's Yeah, obligated in a bechor, if it has gives birth to a bechor. When you shecht it, you have to give those matanos, those gifts to the Kohen. The yotzim lechulin ligazez ulehaved. And in addition, if it had any kedusha, you would not be able to shear it and use the wool. You would not be able to work that animal. But now that it's been redeemed from a kedushas damim status, you are permitted now to gozes it, you're allowed to shear it and use the wool, you're allowed to work it. And in addition, uvladan v'chalavan mutar lachar pidyonan, once you've done the redemption, it would be permitted to have the offspring that are given birth to afterward, after the redemption, and also the milk would be permitted. If it's before the redemption, all of this would change, but this is talking about after the redemption. And now, we are going to move forward to the second part of the Mishnah that's going to talk about certain implications even before the redemption. So if we have this animal, again, that it has Kedushas Damim, but not Kedushas Haguf. It has Kedushas Damim because it was sanctified when it already had an invalidating blemish to it. So it has Kedushas Damim, not Kedushas Haguf. So even before it's redeemed, V'hashochtan b'chutz patur. There's an iser of Shchutas Chutz. If somebody does Shchita on an animal that can be brought as a korban, then it is a very serious isser. If you do the shechita on that animal, not where you're supposed to, not inside the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash, but outside of the Beis Hamikdash, that's a serious isser. But when something is not proper, it's not kosher to be brought as a korban because this animal has a blemish, it's only kedushas damim. So if somebody did the shechita on it, Ashochtan b'chutz, it's going to be potter. It's not going to be chay of the isra on the shchutas chutz. Me'ein osim tmura. There's another halacha that if you have an animal that has kedusha saguf, not kedusha stami, but kedusha saguf, if somebody tries to replace it, substitute it, the halacha is he can't substitute something that has kedusha saguf. So, for example, to replace it with another animal. So, somebody has one animal that's supposed to be brought, for example, as a korban shlamim or korban ola, and it doesn't have a blemish, so it has kedusha saguf. And he says, you know what, I'm going to transfer this. Instead of bringing A, I'm going to bring B. The halacha is that both of them become sanctified. Not only do you not transfer the kedusha from A to B, but B and A are both sanctified. That does not apply in our Mishnah when we are talking about A being a kedushas damim animal, so A would stay kedushas damim, but B would never be made a tmura. B would not become sanctified. And continuing, v'meso, because we have an animal that we're talking about kedushas damim, if this animal would pass away before it's redeemed, then you would be permitted, yipadu, you're allowed to redeem it. What are you going to do with a carcass of an animal? You're allowed to feed it to the dogs because it's only has kedushas damim, redemption even after death is effective and it has no residual kedusha, as we'll see in the next Mishnah. Something that has kedushas haguf cannot be redeemed and fed to dogs because there is residual kedusha, the exception to the rule here. And the exception to the rule that we've been talking about specifically is if something has a blemish when you sanctify it, that it only has kedushas damim. The exception, two exceptions to the rule, chutz mina bechor mina maser. If you have an animal that is a bechor, so it itself is a bechor. A bechor has a kedushas, a status of kedushas aguf when it's in utero. It doesn't only kick in when you sanctify it to the base of Mikdash. So even if when you sanctified it to the base of Mikdash, by then it had a blemish, it doesn't matter because it has the status of a Kedusha Saguf all the way back when it was in utero. That is not going to be the subject of Mishnah Beis. That is not going to be a Kedushas Damim situation. That's going to be the subject of Mishnah Gimel. That is going to be something that has Kedushas Haguf. And the same thing when it applies to Ma'aser Behema. Here it's talking about Ma'aser Behema. When you have animals, kosher animals that are born in the same given year, you have to tie them. So that too is something that has Kedushas Haguf and not Kedushas Damim. Even when you sanctified it, it already had a blemish that would disqualify it from being brought as a korban. It doesn't matter. It is still kedusha saguf, subject to the next Mishnah. Mishnah Gimel is a follow-up of the prior Mishnah, but we're going to talk about when an animal has kedusha saguf. This is going to be much simpler than the prior Mishnah because we covered a lot of the concepts already. So Mishnah Gimel says as follows, kol shekadam hekdeshan es muman. If the animal was sanctified to the Beis HaMikdash before the permanent blemish came and invalidated it from being brought as a korban. So we're talking about an animal that was consecrated when it had no blemishes, so it is a Kedusha Sakuf, the higher level of Kedusha, has physical sanctity, and thereafterward it had a mum. Or in addition, the same thing would be if it had a non-permanent blemish when it was sanctified. A non-permanent blemish is not going to disqualify it from being brought as a korban. You just have to wait till it has a refuah shalema. So that's going to be the same because it was not a permanent blemish. It's going to have a kedusha saguf. This animal, when donated, when consecrated, even though it has that non-permanent blemish, it's still going to have kedusha saguf. So we have this animal that has kedusha saguf. Ulechar mikan nolad lehem mum kavua, and thereafterward, it's kedusha saguf brought to the Beis HaMikdash, donated. It's supposed to be brought as a korban, but it develops, it receives an invalidating blemish such that it cannot be brought as a korban anymore. It still has kedusha saguf. And somebody goes v'niftuk, somebody goes and redeems it. Now the money is going to be used, the sanctity moves over to the money, and the money will be brought, will be used as a korban. But what's critical for us is now that this is an animal that had kedusha saguf, even after it's redeemed, it doesn't remove all the sanctity. It still has residual kedusha to it, and accordingly, there are a number of limitations, prohibitions, that still apply even after it's been redeemed as follows. Peturi mina bechora. If that animal that has that mum, it was redeemed, but it still has residual kedusha to it, so if it gives birth, if it's the first time giving birth, and it gives birth to a baby boy, it would otherwise be subject to the halachas of the bechor, but because it was kedusha saguf, it is absolved from the requirements of the Bechor. Umin hamatanos, and somebody shechs this animal, it still has residual kedusha, so the matanos, the gifts that are brought, given to a kohen, after you shecht a chulin animal, would not be required. And number three, ve'einan yotzim lechulin ligazut lehaved. Also, in addition, because it has residual kedusha, you would not be permitted to shear the wool off it or to work this animal because it's still considered quasi-holy. Uvladan v'chalavan asu lechar pidyonan. And in addition, if it gives birth to any animal's offspring, or if you have milk from it, because you're taking it from an animal that still has that residual kedusha, it would be prohibited even after redemption. So all of these are limitations, restrictions, prohibitions, even after this animal has been redeemed, because we're talking about redeeming an animal that his kedusha saguf, so even after redemption, it still has that residual kedusha. And now for the balance of the Mishnah, we're going to talk about certain requirements, limitations that apply even before redemption. We have this animal that has kedusha saguf, but it has a blemish. It has a permanent blemish, invalidating it from being brought as a korban. Accordingly, v'hashochtan b'chutz chayef, if somebody would do the shchit on this animal outside of the azara of the Beis HaMikdash, because we're talking about an animal that has kedusha saguf, even though it has this blemish, still there would be a chiyuv, a violation of the prohibition of bringing an animal outside of the Beis HaMikdash. And in addition, if somebody would attempt to do a tmura, the replacement of A, and say A is not going to be holy, I'm going to replace it with B and bring B for a korban, v'osim tmura, the halachas of tmura would apply, such that both A and B are going to be holy. And in addition, the last halacha, v'im esu yikaveru, in addition, because this is an animal that has a kedusha saguf, once it dies, you're not able to redeem it and feed it to the dogs. That was the subject of the prior Mishnah that was permitted when you have an animal that is kedusha stamim, but when it's kedusha saguf, even after redemption, you're not allowed to treat it disrespectfully by treating it for feeding it to animals. And accordingly, if the animal that had kedusha saguf, despite the blemish, if it died, it simply has to be buried because you can't have benefit in those ways from it. Mishnah Dalet is a follow-up of Mishnah Aleph, where we said that if a non-Jew has any ownership right in an animal that gives birth to what would otherwise be a bechor, there is no requirement, there is no chiyuv of a bechor, no mitzvah of taking a bechor, because the concept of a bechor only exists when the mother is wholly owned by the Jew. In our Mishnah Dalet, we have a non-Jew that owns some animals, and he enters into a relationship, a transaction with a Jew. It's called Tzon Barza. We see this in other contexts in Halacha as well. And what it means is that the Jew is going to bear all of the risks of the transaction. So the Goy is the owner of the animal, and basically he's going to transfer those animals to the Jew. The Jew is going to guarantee payment to the non-Jew at a certain point in the future. Let's say 5 years, I'm going to pay you the value. They set in a value that is going to be paid. The Jew is going to be raising, tending towards the flock, and the first generation of offspring, they're going to be splitting between them. So the Mishnah says as follows, if a Jew receives this transaction, he receives the animals from a non-Jew on a Tzon Barzel relationship terms, Vlados Peturin, the second generation, which are the Vlados, means the offspring of the animals that the Jew receives, so that's going to be the second generation down, will not be subject to the requirements of Bechor, because the Goy, the non-Jew, has his Yad, to a certain extent, he has a certain ownership right in the first generation that he's transferring, because if the Jew fails to pay him at the 5 years, he's going to go and collect those animals that he gave to the Jew. So because of that, because he still has his yad in those animals, their offspring are going to be put or exempt from the halachas of Bechor. On the other hand, uvlade vlados chayavin, the next generation down, which is going to be the third generation, they're going to be obligated in the Bechor because the non-Jew has no yad. He has no right to those, even if there's a default by the Jew. Continuing, if the Jew went and he said, I am going to guarantee you the purchase price that I agreed to, in 5 years I'm going to pay it, if I'll guarantee it, and not only that, I am going to not only personally guarantee it, but give you a right to collect the offspring. So in this situation, and we'll see it shortly in the Mishnah, when he says, I'm going to guarantee it by the offspring, the Goy had a right to collect from the first generation of offspring. That's the second generation down. He had a right to do that anyway. So what the Jew is saying, he's adding protection to the non-Jew here, is that he's saying, I'm going to extend it to the third generation. So here we'll have the Goy, the non-Jew, has his yad in the third generation as well. And accordingly, because he has his yad in the third generation, when they give birth and any of them has a bechor, that Bechor, that's the fourth generation, is also going to be absolved from Bechor, but the fifth generation is going to be required. It's not going to be exempt from the halachas of Bechor. So accordingly, as follows, Hemid Vlados Tachad Imosein, if the Jew came and guaranteed, he says to the non-Jew, you're going to be able to take the Vlados. We would think that this means the offspring, that means the second generation down from the parents that you gave me, but it doesn't mean that. It really means that the third generation he's guaranteeing. So Vlade Vlados Peturim, so the generation of the children of the third generation are going to be exempt. We're talking now about the fourth generation down are going to be exempt because they are the children of the third generation and the non-Jew now has his yad in the third generation. So fourth generation is exempt. However, Vlados Chayavim, the fifth generation down is going to be obligated. It's not going to be exempt from the halachas of Bechor. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omar, he has a different take in this. His take is as follows. Once the Jew said, I'm going to give you extra security in the offspring, that means that the security that the Jew is giving is for all future generations until there is a full repayment of the purchase price that was guaranteed by the Jew to the non-Jew. And accordingly, until that happens, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omar, afilu ad asara doros pturin, until even 10 generations down of children, they are going to be exempt from Bechor because the non-Jew has effectively a security interest in those. He has his yad in it. It was guaranteed by the Jew, and the guarantee by the Jew extends to all future offspring until he pays off his obligation to the non-Jew. Mishnah Hay teaches us a halacha that when we have a mother and the child would otherwise be subject to the requirements of the Bechor, but the child does not resemble the mother whatsoever. In this situation, there's going to be no requirement of Bechor. So Mishnah says as follows, Rachel, for example, if we have a female sheep, Shialda Kamines, gave birth to the child properly, but it looks like a goat. So in other words, it doesn't resemble the mother. It's somewhat deformed. The Eish Shialda Kamin Rachel. And if we have an Eish, we have a goat, the reverse case that gave birth, and the offspring looks like a female sheep, so that's just not a normal birth. Patur mina bechora. There's a pasuk that teaches us that there's no requirement for bechora. This offspring is exempt from a bechora because the offspring needs to resemble the mother, and if it doesn't resemble the mother at all, when we have a mother sheep and a offspring that looks like a goat, even though it's really a sheep, but it looks like a goat, or the reverse, so there's not a resemblance of the mother, then that is going to be, the offspring is going to be exempt from the requirements of the Bechora. However, if there are certain characteristics that it resembles of the mother, even though it's not the same, it doesn't look like the same type of animal, but it has certain characteristics, like, for example, its leg looks like the mother, or the wool looks like that of the mother, something like that, so you can associate that offspring with the mother. In that situation, that's going to be sufficient, and it's going to be chayav in Bechorah. The requirements of the Bechorah are going to apply. Mishnah Vav starts a set of three Mishnayos where we have doubts, we're unclear whether when we have a Rachel, which is a female sheep, what she gave birth to, is it a Bechor or not? So in fact, we'll just lay out on a high level what we'll see in Mishnah Vav Zayin Ches. Mishnah Vav is going to deal with the situation Rachel Shelo Bikra, talking about a female sheep. So it's one mother that never had a Bechor, and we're going to discuss whether what she has as a child is going to be a Bechor or not, that has to go to the Kohen. So that's going to be one female sheep. Mishnah Zayin is going to be Shtei Rechelot Shelo Bichru. We're going to have two female sheep, and obviously what they give birth to gets mixed together, etc., various permutations and sfeikos doubts. And Mishnah Ches is going to be Achas Bikra v'Achas Shelo Bikra. So again, we have two mothers, two female sheeps, and one had given birth previously, so whatever she gives birth to is not going to be a Bechor, and the other one had not given birth before, so whatever she gives birth to, if it's a boy, it will be a Bechor. So those are the differences between Mishnah Vav, Mishnah Zayin, Mishnah Ches. Mishnah Tes is going to talk about C-sections. Very interesting conversation there, which we will, Amir Tashem, get to shortly. So back to Mishnah Vav. Mishnah Vav is a fairly complicated Mishnah. It goes as follows. Rachel, Shelo Bikra, V'yalda, Shnei Zecharim. We have a Rachel, a female sheep. It had never given birth before. Now she has twins, Mazel Tov and Mazel Tov, two baby boys. So they're both Zecharim. And here we don't know which one was born first. In fact, V'yatzu Shnei Roshem Ke'achad. They both came out at the same time. Literally, their heads came out at the same time. So here, the question is, maybe both of them are going to be a Bechor, not one of them. So Rabbi Yossi Haglili Omer, Shnehem LeKohen. Rabbi Yossi Haglili is of the view when they're born at the same time together, they are both going to be a Bechor. They're both going to be given to the Kohen. And he brings a Pasuk, Shenemar HaZecharim LaHashem, a Pasuk in Shmos, Yud Gimel, Yud Bet, that the Zecharim, the males, are to Hashem. Now it says it in plural tense, Zecharim, so he learns from that both of them have the status of a Bechor, and both of them go to the Kohen. That is the sheet of Rabbi Yossi Haglili, v'chachamim omrim. Chachamim are of the view that even though it looked like they were both born at the same time, but truth be told, efshar, it can't be that they were born at the exact same time. We simply don't know which one was born first, which was ahead of the other. Accordingly, efshar ela echad lo ve'echad l'kohen. We just simply don't know which was born first, and so we don't know which is the Bechor, but one of them is a Bechor, and one of them is not as a Bechor. So one of them goes to the owner, and one of them goes to the Kohen. Now, in the Shita of Chachamim, we now have a Machlokis. Chachamim simply said, one goes to the owner, one goes to the Kohen, but which goes to whom? And we're going to assume now that one is stronger, more healthy, and one is going to be weaker of the two baby boys that were born. So we're going to have a machlokas in the sheet of Chachamim. Which goes to whom? Rabbi Tarfon Omer, HaKohen Bore Lo Esayafe. Rabbi Tarfon says that the Kohen gets to choose the nicer one. It's the choice of the Kohen, and he's going to choose the healthier one. And what's going on here is Rabbi Tarfon is of the view that we can easily assume that it was the stronger one that came out first. He was going to be able to angle his way out better than the other one. Accordingly, it's highly likely that that's the one that is the Bechor. And accordingly, the healthier one is going to go to the Kohen. Rabbi Akiva Omer says the reverse. It's going to be the weaker one that's going to go to the Kohen. And we're going to have to explain the language. It says here, Mishamnim Beinehem. The quality is what is the machlokis, what is the question between them. What's going on here is that Rabbi Akiva is telling us that we know the Kohen gets one of them. And the whole discussion is, does he get the healthier one or the weaker one? So definitely he has something coming to him. And because we have the concept of a mosi mecha veiro alav haraya, he has no proof that he gets the healthier one. So by default, he's going to get the weaker one. He has one of them coming to him. That's not a discussion. We know he has one of them coming. One is a Bechor, but because of Moti Mechavero, he's going to get the weaker of the two. And what happens with the second one in this instance? So when the owner gets the second one, Vasheni Gira Achisai, what's going on here is the second one is still, maybe it really was a Bechor, the second one, not the first one. Maybe the one that went to the coin is not a Bechor, and the one that's kept by the owner is the Bechor. So the owner can't use it immediately. He has to put it out to pasture, wait until it has a defect, until it has a mum, and at that point, the owner is permitted to eat it, he's kinshach to eat it, do as he desires. Now we're going to have a side point, a discussion here. This second one that we said is really a safek. It could be unlikely, but it could be that the second one is the bechor. So v'chaya b'matano. So in this instance, we're still letting the owner keep the second one. It's not going to the coin. So at a minimum, there's the halacha. One of the matanos kahuna that the kohen gets are the matanos. The matanos are when you shacht not a bechor. We're talking about a chulin animal, a regular animal. It's not for the base of mikdash. It's not a korban. So automatically, when you shacht an animal that's chulin, the kohen gets certain matanos, gets certain gifts, and those are the foreleg, the jaws, and the stomach. So this is the Tanakhama saying that either way you look at it. This second one, it could be the Bechor, and then really, truth be told, the Kohen has the right to the entire thing. He gets the whole animal. But even if it's not the Bechor, it's a Chulin animal, at a minimum, he has a right to these Matanos. So that's the Sheet of the Chachamim. The second possible Bechor, the second animal of the twins, the owner has to give the Matanos to the Kohen. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi, Poter Rabbi Yossi says, you don't have to. And it's a little bit complicated, Rabbi Yossi's rationale, why that is not the case. And he's of the view as follows, that we look at it, because we had these two animals, and we are going to, in the end of the day, we're going to give one to the coin and one to the owner. So we look at it as if there's a bartered exchange. And the bartered exchange is as if the coin had the second animal that actually wound up with the owner, and we're bartering and exchanging. We're going to say, you take the first one, let the owner take the second one, and because effectively, it's a bit of a fiction here, but effectively the Kohen owned the second one before it became bartered, before it became owned by the owner of it, the non-Kohen. Accordingly, that animal that could have been the Bechor, once it was owned by the Kohen, there's no obligation to give the Kohen Matana. So when the Kohen gave it, bartered for it, and it wound up with the owner, that's number two, it was originally owned by the Kohen, so there's no longer an obligation to give the matanos to the Kohen. Now we're getting back to the Reisha, more specifically, we have, again, just to recall, we're talking about that we had that Rachel, the one female sheep, and she gave birth to two Zacharim, two baby boys, and the question, are they both going to be a Bechor? That's Rabbi Yossi Aglila, they're both Bechors. Chachamim are of the view, one is a Bechor, one is not a Bechor. And what happened was, before giving the one of them to the Kohen, Meis Echamim, one of the two died. And we don't know, again, is it the Bechor that died or the non-Bechor that died? So Rabbi Tarfon Omer Yachloku, Rabbi Tarfon is of the view that because we have the Suffolk, they should divide it between the two. We don't know if this is the coin, if this is not the coins, so let the coin and the owner divide it between the two. In fact, it's interesting that Rabbi Tarfon is actually conflicting here. Rabbi Tarfon, in the Reisha of the Mishnah, said when we have a situation like this, and we don't know if it should be the coins or the non-coins, the coin is going to get the priority. He's going to get the healthier of the two. But here, now that we have still a stuffache, we don't know which goes to whom, and one of them died, Rabbi Tarfon is not saying if it's the healthier one, it goes to the coin. He's saying because we have a suffolk, it should be divided. So in the Gemara, it explains that Rabbi Tarfon changed his mind. Originally, he was in the Reisha, saying that the healthier one goes to the coin, but he changed his mind from that rationale, and now he's of the view that it should be divided. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva is of the view in this situation when one of them died, and we don't know if it was the Bechor or not the Bechor, so who's going to keep the second one? We revert to the rule, Hamotzi mechaveiro alav ha-ra'aya. If somebody wants to take something from somebody else, he has to bring the proof. So the Kohen would have to bring the proof that this is indeed the Bechor, and if he doesn't have the proof, which he doesn't have proof, accordingly, the owner would keep the animal. And just to end off the Mishnah, we're going to change the fact scenario a little bit, or maybe a lot. It's still one mother. It's still one mother that had never given birth before. And she gives birth, instead of to twin boys, Zachar u'nekeva. She gives birth to one is a boy, one is a girl. We don't know which one came out first. So in this situation, it could be that the Kohen has nothing coming to him, because if it was the nekeva, the girl that was born first, then there's no bechor here. Accordingly, ein kan the Kohen klum. The Kohen gets nothing, because again, we have the rule, hamotzi mechaveiro alav haraya. You want to take possession of something that is in the possession of somebody else. And here, the owner is in possession of the animals. So if the Kohen has a claim, to have a valid claim, you need to bring a proof. And here, the Kohen has no proof that it was the zachar, the boy that was born first, and that it's a bechor. Accordingly, the Kohen winds up with nothing. Mishnah Zayin is going to be much simpler than the prior Mishnah, because the concepts are going to basically be the same, and we've already explained them. So Mishnah Zayin, the big change in the fact scenario is now, instead of having one mother, we have shtei rechelo shelo bikru. We have two mothers, two female sheep. Neither of them have ever had a child, so they will each be having a bechor if they're both boys. And that's the situation. V'aldu shnei zacharim, and each one of these mothers, each of them gave birth to a zachar, a baby boy. We don't know which is which mother goes to which child goes to which mother. It doesn't matter, because it's one mother and one mother, two mothers and two baby boys. So we know that they're each bechors. Accordingly, nosen shneihem lekohen. Each of them are a bechor. Each of them has to go to the kohen. How about if it's a zachar v'nekeva? We had those two mothers. Neither of them had ever given birth before. And now they give birth. We don't know who gave birth to which, but one gave birth to a boy, one gave birth to a girl. So for certain, the boy is a bechor, because it came from the mother. It doesn't matter that we know which mother it came from or not. It's going to be a bechor, because it's going to be a firstborn. Accordingly, hazachar lekohen, that baby boy is going to go to the kohen. Next, we are continuing with having those two mothers, shelo bikru, that had never given birth, and now they gave birth to shnei zecharim unekeva. Between the two of them, we don't know who gave birth to which, but between the two of them, they had two baby boys and one baby girl. So for certain, one of the baby boys is a bechor, because we have two mothers, three children. For sure, one of them is a bechor, and the second one, we don't know. Maybe it was born first to the other mother, or maybe it was born after the nekeva, so then it wouldn't be a bechor. Accordingly, in this situation, the Tanakhama says, echad lov echad lekohen. This is the sheet of Chachamim. One will go to the owner, and one will go to the kohen, but the Chachamim, the Shita here, doesn't explain which goes to which. If you have one that is inferior and one is superior, is the Kohen going to get the better one, or is the owner going to get the better one? So this is the subject to Machlok. It's just like we saw in the prior Mishnah between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, HaKohen Borer Lo Esayafa. The Kohen chooses for him the better one. Rabbi Tarfon is of the view that if a animal grows, if it's born by itself, if it was born by itself, B-O-R-N-E, I think that's how it's spelled, by the mother, so it's going to be healthier. So it must be that when you have two boys to choose from, the healthier one is going to be the Bechor, because it was born by the mother without a twin. And the other one that's not as healthy is going to be the twin with the female. And there we have the suffix on that second one. Was the female born first or the male born first? Accordingly, Rabbi Tarfon is of the view, HaKohen Borer Lo Esayafa, the Kohen is going to choose the better one. He gets the right to the better one, because in all likelihood, that is going to be the Bechor, because it was born by itself by one of the mothers. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Mishamni B'neim. Rabbi Akiva doesn't have the view like Rabbi Tarfon does. Rabbi Akiva says they're both a suffix between the two. We have one that's healthier, one that's not healthier, and one may be a Bechor, one may not. One is a Bechor, one is not a Bechor. We don't know. We don't know the situation. Accordingly, what they have to do in this situation, as we saw in the prior Mishnah, the Kohen has a right to one. He has a right at a minimum to the inferior one. He doesn't necessarily have a right to the superior one, because hamotzi mechaveiro alav haraya. He'd have to prove that the superior one is the bechor. Accordingly, he doesn't have that proof. Mishamnim beineihem, because it's unclear which goes to whom, the kohen is going to wind up with the inferior one. That's the best that he can get. And the one that is left with the owner, that one also, maybe it's a bechor, maybe it's not a bechor. Accordingly, it's going to be kept by the bechor, but he's not able to eat it until vasheni yira achi istayev. He has to put it in the field, and he has to wait until it has a mum. Once it has a mum, the owner is going to be able to eat it as he desires. Now, that second one, as we saw in the prior Mishnah, we have a discussion. That second one that's being kept by the owner, does he have to give the matanas to the kohen? The matanas is the foreleg, the jaws, and in the stomach that somebody gives when they have an animal, that is chulin. Chulin is a non-bechor, it's non-korban animal. So the first view is v'chaya b'matanos, because it's being kept by the owner. Of course he has to give it to the kohen, the matanos to the kohen from that second animal. Rabbi Yossi Poter, as we explained in the prior Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi says the matanos do not have to be given. Now continuing, as we saw in the prior Mishnah as well, we are with the same fact scenario that we had these two mothers, neither of them had given birth before, and between the two of them, they had two baby boys and one nekeva and one girl. And we had that machlokas, we said that one is going to go to the kohen, one is going to go to the owner, and we had the machlokas between Rabbi Tofan and Rabbi Akiva just now, who's going to get what? But before the animal went to the kohen, something happened. What happened is Meis Echad, man, one of the boys passed away, one of it died. Rabbi Tarfon Omer Yachloka, because the second one, we don't know if the second one was the Bechor or is it not a Bechor. Accordingly, they have to divide it between the two of them, just as we saw in the prior Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva is of the view, Hamotzi Mechaveiro Alav Araya, the coin would have to bring proof that this living animal, this living child, baby boy, is the Bechor. The coin has no proof to that. Accordingly, the Kohen winds up with nothing. And now, continuing with the scenario of we have these two mothers, but here they gave birth, instead of to two baby boys and a baby girl, they gave birth to shtei nekevas v'zachar, they gave birth to two girls and a boy. So let's just walk through it before we read the rest of the Mishnah. It's indeed possible the two mothers gave birth to the two girls first, and the zachar, the twin, was born after one of the baby girls. So maybe there's no Bechor here whatsoever. Accordingly, when we have a suffix, is there a Bechor or not? It's not so evident that it's a Bechor, and the coin has no proof that there is a Bechor situation. The coin is going to wind up with nothing. Or the next scenario, we have those two mothers again, and they gave birth to all shnei zecharim shtei nekevos. So they gave birth to two baby boys and two baby girls. It's the same as we just went through when we have two baby girls and one baby boy. It doesn't matter as long as there are two baby girls involved in the situation. It could be that they were born first, and that the zecharim, the boys that were born there afterwards. So again, the coin's going to have no proof that there is a bechor in this situation. So ein kan lekoin klum, the coin is going to get nothing. The owner is going to be able to keep everything because the kohen would have to bring a proof, and he has no proof that there is a bechor in this situation. Mishnah Ches is the third of our three Mishnayas that sound fairly similar, but it starts out differently. Major change in the fact scenario. Achas bikra v'achas shelo bikra. Now we have two mothers, just like the prior Mishnah, but one had given birth before, and what had never given birth before. So the one that had given birth before, even if she has the baby boy, it's not going to be a bechor. And the other one that had never given birth, only if she has a baby boy, is it going to be a bechor? But if she gives birth to a baby girl, that's never a bechor. And the situation is as follows. Between the two of them, v'yaldu shnei zecharim, they gave birth to two baby boys, and we don't know which is the mother of which of those baby boys. So in this situation, again, the Tanakama Chachamim say, Echad lo v'echad l'koin. In this situation, one is going to go to the owner, and one is going to go to the Kohen. Because either way you look at it, one of them is going to be a Bechor, one is not going to be a Bechor, but we just have to decide which one is going to whom. So that again is the subject to a machlokes between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, HaKohen Borer Lo Asayaf. As we saw in the prior two Mishnayas, Rabbi Tarfon is of the view that the Kohen gets to choose the better of them, and his rationale is such that a Bechor that is born is going to be healthier than a non-Bechor. And accordingly, when you see you have these two baby boys, and one is healthier and one is less healthy, the Kohen is going to get the healthier. The assumption is that is going to be the Bechor. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva disagrees with that assumption. Mishamnin Beinechem, there's no discussion that the Kohen is supposed to get one. He's supposed to get one of them, but the question is which. And the Kohen does not have a proof that the healthier one is the Bechor. Accordingly, Hamotzi Mechaveiro Alav Haraya, he has no proof that he can take the more significant and healthy one. Accordingly, he's going to get the inferior one. Vasheni Yirachi Yistav. And the second one that is left with the owner, again, maybe that second one is the Bechor. It's not 100% clear that the Kohen is getting the Bechor. So because we have a Suffolk, It could be that the owner who is left with the second one, that's the Bechor, so he can't use it immediately. He's going to own it, but he has to wait until it has a mum, until it has a defect, and at that point he can use it as his desires. And then we have the same achlokas as we saw in the prior two Mishnayos, the second animal that is left with the owner, that we have a suffix, is it the Bechor or is it not the Bechor? So the Tanakama's view is v'chaya b'matanos. You are obligated to give the matanos. On the one hand, it could be a Bechor, and certainly the Kohen should get the matanis. He's supposed to get the entire animal. And even if it's not a Bechor, at a minimum, when you have an animal that is chulin, those matanos, those three different areas of the animal, are given to the Kohen. The Rebbe Yossi Pot, and Rebbe Yossi here says, again, as we saw in the prior two Mishnayos, that there's no obligation on the second one to give the matanos. And here, for the first time in the three Mishnayos, the Mishnah actually spells out Rabbi Yossi's explanation why there would be no matanos given. We actually explained this two Mishnayos ago, but we'll walk through the language of the Mishnah. It says, Rabbi Yossi Poter, why on the second animal do you not have to give the matanos? Ha'ishaya, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi was of the view, kol shechalifa bi'ad kohen poter mina matanos. As long as one of the animals that is bartered for is left with the kohen, then the second animal that is with the owner, there's no obligation to give matanos from it. And what's going on here is as follows, because we can look at it as the following, that it was really the Bechor animal that was in trust, that was owned by the Kohen. And because we had the suffix, we don't know which one is the real Bechor, which is not. So it could very well be that the Bechor that was owned by the Kohen was bartered for and given to the owner, and the Kohen has the non-Bechor right now. And accordingly, because he gave what was the Bechor to the non-Kohen, there's no obligation anymore to give the matanos from it. Accordingly, now that the second one has been left with the owner, and we have this fiction that maybe that's really the Bechor, and the Kohen gave the Bechor to the owner, and there's therefore no longer an obligation to give matanos from it. Rabbi Meir, Mechayev Rabbi Meir, which is the sheet of the Tana Kama, is just a layout here, as we brought an opinion that you're obligated to give the matanos, and then we brought the opinion of Rabbi Yossi that there's no obligation to give matanos, and now Rabbi Meir says you are obligated to give the matanos. Rabbi Meir is the Tana Kama, it's the same view that you're obligated to give the matanos from that second animal. Meisechad Mehem, so we are building on our scenario that we just had, that we have two mothers, one had given birth, one had not given birth, and they gave birth to two zacharim, they gave birth to two baby boys. So before giving one of them to the Kohen, we just had a machlokish, which is it going to be, but before doing that, before giving the one that was going to the Kohen, one of the two died. And we don't know, the remaining one, is it the Bechor, is it not the Bechor? So, Meis Echamen, Rabbi Tarfon, Amar Yachlok, as we saw in the prior two Mishnayos, Rabbi Meir's review, we have a question here, who should own it? Should it be the Kohen? Should it be the owner? So we're just going to divide it between the two. And Rabbi Akiva disagrees, Omer, as we saw in the prior two Mishnayos, again, Amotzi Mechaveiro, Alav Araya, if you don't have proof, and the Kohen doesn't have proof that this is the Bechor, accordingly, it's going to be kept, it's going to be reside with the owner. Zachar and Akeva, we're changing the fact situation a little bit. Still, we have two mothers. One had given birth to a Bechor in the past, one had not, or had given birth, one has not given birth. And now they gave birth, and we don't know who the mother is of which, but they gave birth between the two of them to a Zachar and Akeva, to a baby boy and a baby girl. Again, we're going to say, Ein kan l'kohen klum. The Kohen gets nothing because Amosi mechaveiro alav haraya, he has no proof that it was the mother who had never given birth before gave birth to the baby boy. He has no proof. Accordingly, the owner who is Hamotzi mechaveiro alav haraya, he is the one who is in possession of the animals. And in order to take it away from him, the Kohen would need proof. He doesn't have proof that that there's a Bechor here, and accordingly the owner is going to keep the animals. Mishnah Tess is a very interesting Mishnah, and it will hone in on the specific issue of the first baby boy that is born as the Bechor. What does that mean? So we're actually going to be based on a Pasuk in Shmos Yud Gimel, Pasuk Beis, Kadeshli Kol Bechor, holy will be to me, sanctified to me, every Bechor. Bechor means a firstborn. Peter Kol Rechem b'vnei Yisrael. What's a Peter Rechem? Is the firstborn from a natural birth, not a C-section. So what we're going to have to discuss is does the focus here have to be on the bechor, that it has to be the firstborn, or is it only when it is through a natural birth? What happens if the first natural birth is not the first birth? So the Mishnah says as follows, Yotzei Dofen is a C-section, Vahaba Acharav, and at the same time there were twins, so the first one was born via C-section, and the second one, both baby boys, was born naturally. So is one of them going to be the Bechor? The first one that was born is the first one was born, but it's not a Peterechem. It's not born naturally. It's a Bechor, not a Peterechem. And the second one, Vaba Acharav, is not a Bechor. It's not the first one born, but it is a Peterechem. It is the being born naturally. Rebbe Tarfon Omer, Shnehem Yiru Ad Shisavu, both of them have to be put out to pasture, and you have to wait till there's a mum, and it will be the owner that will be permitted. Ve'achlu b'mum on the balim. The balim are going to be able to keep it, and the coin's going to get nothing. Now, we have to go through the rationale here. So what's going on is that there are a number of suffiks, sfeikos, a number of doubts going on here, according to Rabbi Tarfon. So first, it goes as follows. Suffik number one, we have that first one that was born. It was born through C-section. So maybe it is a bechor. It could be that it's a Bechor because it was the firstborn, albeit not naturally. On the other hand, the second one was the first natural birth. So even though it wasn't a Bechor, but it was a Peterechem, so maybe that one is the Bechor. So maybe the first one is the Bechor, maybe the second one is the Bechor. Accordingly, because we're unclear, that's what requires that the owner not use it until there is a mum. It can't be eaten yet. You have to wait until there's a mum. And the second suffix is as follows. Maybe, in fact, neither of them are a Bechor because you require both of the components. You require it not only to be the firstborn, but you require it to be a natural birth. And not only does it have to be a natural birth, it also has to be the firstborn. So in this situation, in our Mishnah, neither of them is going to be a Bechor, and the Kohen gets neither of them. And that's why the result, we had the first set of suffiks, which require them to be sent out to pasture and wait for a mum. You can't do anything with them, because maybe each of them is a Bechor, and the second suffix here is maybe neither of them is a Bechor, and accordingly, that's why it is kept by the Balim, kept by the owner. The Kohen would have to bring a proof. Hamotzi mechaviro alav araya. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva is much clearer on his shita here. He says, Shnehem ein bechor. For certain, neither of them are a bechor. Harishon, the first one that came out, it was not born naturally. Mishum sheino peter cherechem. If it wasn't born naturally, it's not a bechor. Vasheni mishum shekadmacha. And the second one wasn't a bechor, even though it was a peter cherechem, was born naturally. But because the first one came out first, the second one is not a bechor. So what Rabbi Akiva is telling us is you don't even have to send them out to be in the pasture and get blemishes. The requirement for a bechor requires both of the components. It has to be not only the firstborn, but it has to be the firstborn that is born naturally. And if you don't have both of those components, it's not going to be considered a bechor.